This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, gather around. It's America's hour of truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 4, where we left off last time. Minor prophet, Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 4. Now, Zechariah is a prophecy of these end times, and there's a lot of symbology, just like the book of Joel and Revelation, which we just finished teaching. God has given him quite a few visions of what's going on here at the end, and to write it in a book for those of us who are here at the end. Now, he began with telling us that there are angelic beings from heaven, they're called scouts, and they are sent to check things out and see if it's time for the end. And they are especially checking out for God's very elect, that 7,000, Romans 11, who will not bow the knee to Baal or the Antichrist. And he calls the elect carpenters because, you see, an elect is a builder. An elect is utilized to build the house of God. And an elect hammers the word and nails it home. And he also calls the elect not only carpenters but firebrands, because we are ministers of fire. We have the fire of God in us. Hallelujah. Now, in chapter 4 last week, he showed him a vision of a golden candlestick. This represented the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, and gold, he is true, the truth. On top of the golden candlestick, there was a bowl, a reservoir of oil, representing the Holy Spirit, the anointing of Holy Spirit. And then beside that, he had seven lampstands. Now, we know from studying this in Revelation that this represents the seven churches in a circle in Asia in Revelation, but they are a symbol of all the Christian churches on round planet Earth. And then he showed us seven pipes coming out of that bowl, out of that anointing, going up into the air like a conduit. These are the 7,000 elect, the messengers of the 7,000, the seven churches. And the lips of those pipes go into those candlesticks with the lip of knowledge. Hallelujah. And he also had two olive trees standing beside the candlestick, but we're going to address that again.
For so I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Five. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord.
The angel has a sense of humor. You mean you don't know what this means?
Six. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel.
Now, Zerubbabel means born in Babylon. Now, in the minor prophet, just before Zechariah, you'll see a book called Haggai. And the last two messages of Haggai were written or dictated by God the same time Zechariah was written. And Zerubbabel was a man who was born when the house of Judah was in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And they had just gotten out of Babylon, back home. And God had commissioned Zerubbabel, who had been born in Babylon, yet was one of the Hebrew children, to build God's house. And so what he's saying here, these seven pipes, these anointed 7,000 with the lips of knowledge feeding the church, gathering that anointing from the reservoir, all the anointing, and the name and the power of Jesus Christ, that candlestick, they are building the church of God, the house of God in the end times. The many-membered body is the house of God. You are the temple of the living God. So Zerubbabel becomes a type of you, elect, carpenter, and firebrand.
Saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Now, it's very hard for Zerubbabel to do that, because when they came out of captivity, everybody was interested in building his own house and not God's house. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Now, I'm sure nobody listening to me is more interested in your house. I know that you do everything you can to build God's house. In other words, the many-membered body of Christ. So it was very hard for Zerubbabel, but he said, I can't do it myself, not by my might, not by my power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. And I say to you, you're all appointed to build God's house, you to get the truth of God, you to win souls and build up the house of God. And you cannot do it in your own energy or your mind or your intellect. When you pray, you must pray with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you teach, you must teach with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When you sing, you must sing with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit in us will do the work.
7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain.
Now, Zerubbabel said in his spirit, and this is what you elect say, boy, this is a mountain that hinders me from doing God's work. Those of you who are called and chosen on the front line in battle, you know what I mean. There's always some hindrance for keeping you from going on. See, I'm supposed to teach the whole wide world the truth. Do you know how many hindering spirits come against me for that? You know the same thing. But he says, okay, but by the Spirit of God, mountain, move. And you know, Jesus says, you can move this mountain. The mountain Jesus was talking about was the Kenite government, that political horn, you know, that's tearing up American education and economy and religion. And he says, we can say to the mountain, move. Remember Luke 10:19, carpenters and elect firebrands. He says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over every mountain that comes your way, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you power over scorpions and devils. In other words, demons and devils. Scorpions and serpents, demons and devils. So we do it in the power and anointing of God. I don't think most of you Christians ever exercise the power you have been given. I heard a man say, if a fly is aggravating you and you got a fly swatter, you just sit there and let the little fly aggravate you. Pick up the fly swatter. Pick up the Holy Spirit.
And he shall bring forth the headstone thereon with shoutings.
The headstone is Jesus. We are the house of God, the body, and Jesus is the head. He is the chief cornerstone. He's the capstone of the pyramid. And so as we build this many-membered body of Christ, as we get this truth out, the true, true, true mystery of God out, we always remember that it is Jesus who is our Lord. He is the head, and we are the body. So we always exalt. Be exalted, O Lord Jesus.
Praying grace unto it.
We are under the dispensation of grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Jesus, God himself, Emmanuel, came down here, formed himself a body, born of the Virgin Mary, died, shed his blood for the remission of our sins, and arose from the dead, and we are saved by unmerited favor. Grace. Amazing grace.
8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also finish it.
Now see, remember, Zerubbabel could get very discouraged because the people were more interested in building their house than God's house. Those of us in the ministry understand that. Everybody's going to take care of his stuff, but what about God's stuff? But he says, and the New Testament says, he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yours is to continue in the faith and having done all to stand. Put on that gospel armor of Ephesians 6 and having done all stand and move ahead. Move through the mountain. Go around it, above it, or under it, but keep going.
And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. 10. For who hath despised the day of small things?
Now see, they probably ridiculed Zerubbabel because, I mean, he had about a yard of concrete and he's supposed to build the whole temple. Jesus says, he that is faithful in small matters, I will make him ruler over many. There are only 7,000 elect. It's not a literal number. It means the number of perfection who will not bow the knee to Antichrist. Half the body is going to be deceived. That's a small number. But it will be those same elect who are going to be teaching in our spiritual bodies in the millennium. Ezekiel 44 through 48 tells us that. Now listen to me. I'm not impressed by crowds. I don't go where crowds are. I know there's nothing but fragments there. Amos calls the elect, the small stunted sheep. We're just a few. Many are called, but few are chosen. Few are the elect, okay? Every person you meet is your mission field. And every person is important. If only one person is before you, pour out every treasure and pearl from heaven on that person. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Pray a cover over them. Pull them back when they go astray. Do everything you can. Minister to them as though you're ministering to 5,000 people. That person sitting beside you on the job is not by chance. That's your mission field. That person on your work, that person place, everybody you meet's your mission field. Take care of that one sheep. God will make you ruler over many. He watches how you do the small things. You know, little David had been anointed to be king of Israel by Samuel and by God. His older brothers, jealous of him, made fun of him and said, "You just got a few small sheep." So don't despise small things. It's not over yet.
For they shall rejoice, and they shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel.
Now, plummet is a plumb bob, and of course, in the natural, Zerubbabel building the house, a plumb bob is held on a string, and a plumb bob keeps things straight. Now, who are this they? The carpenters, the firebrands. Now you're going to get a new name elect. You're going to be called a plumb bob. A plumb bob, a plummet, keeps things straight.
Those seven.
We studied that last time. The seven eyes, seven pairs of eyes in the stone. The stone is Jesus. That's the 7,000 elect, Romans 11, right here alive at the end time. See, we understand what's going on. We know exactly why God has lifted up Donald Trump. We understand all of this. We understand the seven seals, the seven vials, the seven trumps. We understand Revelation. We understand Joel. We understand Zechariah. We understand in the beginning. And so we have these eyes. And our job is to keep things straight, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And see, we keep it straight and we measure it all by the word of God.
They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth.
Now see, people preach sermons on that and they don't say they are. They say the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Well, we know God's eyes do. But it says they. He's talking about the plumb bob, the carpenters, the elect. We are his eyes now. We see and understand what's going on because elect connect, we have a work to do right here.
11, then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof?
Now, we learned last week that these are the two witnesses of Revelation 11, and the olive means they are highly anointed, and they have the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah, Malachi chapter 4, will always tell you there are two fathers. There's God our Father, and then there's a devil who beguiled Eve in the garden. Now, I want to tell you something about those two witnesses. In the original language, there is no gender. Usually it'll say male or female. There is no gender. And most people think, because of Revelation 11, that it might be Elijah or Moses or Enoch. But Elijah was translated. He went up into a whirlwind, Hebrew, chariot of fire. God buried Moses. When God buries, you can't be too dead. And Enoch was translated. These two witnesses will have to be in a flesh body because the Antichrist is going to finally lose his cool and kill them. So we're just going to wait and see, aren't we?
12, and I answered again and said unto him,
I ask him again, Zechariah said,
what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes?
Now they have golden pipes. That means their speech. They speak truth.
Empty the golden oil out of themselves.
They speak truth with the anointing. these two trees pump that anointing, they will soon appear on the news. That does not mean they're not here now. You're just not aware of them. There will be voices of truth pumping out the truth. Revelation told us they come just a little bit before Antichrist comes. We're in the fifth trump now, a time of learning. Antichrist comes as the sixth trump. The fifth trumpet is about to finish. We're almost ready for the Antichrist. So these two witnesses will be made known to you, and they will be speaking the truth out of their voices for the whole world to hear. But they will be pumping that truth into those pipes going up into the air with the lips of knowledge on them. The 7,000 elect. Hallelujah. Yes. God doesn't drop us off at Hollywood and Vine without a spiritual babysitter. Yes.
13. And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be?
You mean you don't know what this is? The angel's kidding him again.
And I said, no, my Lord.
Nope.
14. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth.
These two stick with the Lord. They don't get deceived by the Antichrist who is coming before Jesus. Sixth trumpet sounds before the seventh.
Chapter 5, verse 1. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll.
Now, a roll is a scroll. It is the Torah. Remember, they wrapped it around like this? The manuscripts say it is a sign, but it's not a literal sign that you hold on a stick and protest Donald Trump's meetings. It's not a sign that you attach to a blimp. It means seal, S-E-A-L. You remember in Revelation that an angel cried to the four angels who were holding the four winds of the four corners of the earth, and the angel said, stop, stop, don't let the end come until everyone who is supposed to know the truth is sealed in his forehead. So this roll is the truth, and it's going through the air. Let's learn a little bit more about it.
Two, and he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the height thereof 10 cubits.
It's 30 by 15. In other words, it's so big. Remember, this is symbology. It's not a literal sign. It's so big that you would have to be lead-headed to miss it. Now, Scott and I were talking about this, and the Lord has given him three stages of this, if I may use that: clarity, movement, and manifestation. We're now in the fifth trump, and the clear word is rolling through the air. I've noticed since I've been on the radio, many people who never heard of the three earth ages, of the seduction in the garden, or revelation, or anything really other than salvation, they are waking up and they're getting the clearer truth. And as the truth becomes clearer, this roll, this seal, then you begin to move in the Word of God. There's a great movement going on. We do this on Wednesday night. We're actually walking in it. We're moving in the Word of God. The clarity of the Word, the roll, brings the movement. And then the movement of the Word brings the manifestation of the Word. For instance, if you are defeated, you find the Word, you move in that Word, and you manifest victory. Do you understand? Hallelujah. There you go. There it is.
Three. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth.
Now, it's not the Word of God that's the curse. It's talking about that these seven pipes, 7,000 elect, with the help of these two witnesses, they're going to appear on the scene. Maybe they're already here. Maybe they're part of the elect. That they are telling you that a curse is about to come. And we know that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse is Satan himself, because soon and very soon, Revelation 13, Satan is going to come in the sky, Revelation 12, with his fallen angels, and he's going to call himself God's Savior, Theosata. He's going to call himself Christ. And Revelation 13 says the whole world would go after him. And Matthew 25, half of the body of Christ, five have half and half have no oil, no truth, no light in them. So this role is saying, beware, beware, the fake Christ is coming. And so we're warning you.
For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off, as on this side according to it.
Now, it's as though if it were a sign, and these carpenters are telling you, if it were one sign would say, there's a thief to steal the children's birthright. You love Jesus, and you've been told he's going to come and fly you away, but you're going to go with the first one, your birthright stolen. Let's see what's on the other side of the sign that the carpenters will tell us through the flying roll.
And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off, as on that side.
Meaning, everyone that swears by the name of this one that this is Jesus, calls him Savior, cut off.
According to it. For I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name.
In other words, the curse is going to come on the thief. You know that's your adversary, the devil. And on all those that swear by his name and are deceived by him and think he's the Savior. Cut off. You know, lake of fire.
And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof.
Shiver my timbers.
And the stones thereof.
Now we're about to see what the roll is really saying, what this curse really is. And this is right now where we are. Many, many people who say they love Jesus need this, what we're about to hear.
5. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and think what is this that goeth forth. 6. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah.
Now an ephah is a measurement for harvest time. So let's just say that what he sees is a bushel basket. Got it?
4. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all of the earth.
So all of the world is going to see and think that it's harvest time. Remember, Jesus is coming back to harvest the wheat. Oh, there's the bushel basket ready for the harvest. Is it good or is it bad? Let's let God's word tell us.
7. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead.
Lead-headed, thick-headed, spirit of stupor, refuse to listen. You want to get out of here and have fly away like a balloon. You will not listen to the truth. Thick-headed.
And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah.
This is Revelation 17. This is Mystery Babylon the harlot. Now, it's not a literal woman. It means confusion, lie, deception. Revelation 17, sitting on the beast, the Antichrist, pretending to be God, Revelation 13, on all of the waters of the people, on all of the people on round planet Earth. So, we're loading up a bushel basket, and people who are deceived are getting into it. Lie, deception.
8. And he said, this is wickedness.
Wickedness. Wicked, lawless one. This is of the devil.
And he cast it into the midst of the ephah. And he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof.
The lead. God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you want to believe a lie, I'll send you an illusion. I'll let you believe a lie. So God says, take the lie and eat your lie. If you want to get in this load, you go right ahead. The lie fly proverb of Ezekiel chapter 13, God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. In 1832, a demented woman, Margaret MacDonald, had an evil vision. Even in her dementia, she said it's evil. I think it's the devil come to fly us away. No, he's so beautiful, it must be Jesus. So two itinerant preachers picked it up and brought it, and it is the lie fly proverb, and everybody believing it is about to get into this basket. Remember, the basket is simply a symbol. Wrong harvest, untimely figs, out of season.
9. Then lifted I up mine eyes, and I looked, and behold, there came out two women.
Now, in Revelation chapter 9, the king of the bottomless pit is the Antichrist, and he's coming with his locust army, the fallen angels, and it says they have hair like women. In other words, they're going to come with him, and they're going to be preaching. They're charismatic and just so magical in the Christian pulpit to those who are deceived. They will even try to come in here. And they're gentle and sweet like a woman, and you would just follow them because you know that they would never hurt you. Fallen angels.
And the wind was in their wings.
Ready to fly. One's going to pick up one side of the basket, and one's going to pick up the other side.
They had wings like the wings of a stork.
A stork is a dirty bird. Shouldn't they have wings like the great eagle if it were real? This is a dirty lie. It's a cheap, dirty trick. The fallen angels are going to be going and affirming everybody, are you ready to fly away? Because the one now calling himself God is really the Savior. But if you had known the role, if you had heard it clearly, you would have moved in the word, and the truth would have manifest to you.
And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven.
It's starting to go up, 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 away in my hot air balloon.
10. Then said I unto the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah?
Where are they taking them?
11. And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base.
Now Shinar in the Hebrew means the place of two rivers, the Tigris River and the Euphrates River, which is Babylon, confusion, the lie, the deception. Now God is not the author of Babylon, of confusion. Who is the author of confusion? The devil. Okay, so they're going to the devil. 6 comes before 7. When caught up in the air, they base this on that air does not mean to fly into the sky. It means to change into your spiritual bodies when the real Jesus comes. So I guess we could sum this all up by saying they're going to hell in a handbasket.
Amen.
And we'll begin right there next time. Well, now it's time for mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand God's word. Joel chapter 2, which we just finished, told us to blow the trumpet. We always see we move in the word, so we're going to do it. Now, many of you have heard me explain that God has lifted up Donald Trump to be a plumb bob to shiver the timbers of the corrupt Kenite political system. And so many of you say to me, but is he a Christian? Well, our good friend Scott here caught a little clip of him on the TV, so we're going to let, yes, he's a Christian, and Scott's going to play this for us if we can get this right here. Okay, Scott?
Chipping away at Christianity. And we're not going to let that happen anymore, folks. I'll tell
Thank you. He said I'm a very good Christian. See, I like his positive. You don't want to be a bad Christian. Thank you, Scott. We also heard him say that he's a defender of the Christian faith. Donald comes from Scotland, and Jeremiah in Ezekiel brought the three last remaining daughters, calling three tender twigs, of the last king of Judah, Zedekiah, when they punched Zedekiah's eyes out and killed all his sons, to prolong that tribe of Judah. He brought them into what we now call Europe, England, Scotland, Ireland. His name, history tells us, was Scouter, after which Scotland is named. And so you see, Donald Trump has a great heritage. Yes, he's a Christian. One of the first things the king and queens of England, the first oath they take upon their coronation, is to defend the Christian faith. And I have literally heard Donald Trump say he's to defend the Christian faith. So I do hope that helps you. Time for one more question. Dear Sherry Trumpet, why did Jonah rebel? Well, first of all, Jonah's gotten a bad rap. Jonah is a type of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said there'll be no sign given except the sign of Jonah. When Jonah was told by God to go and preach to Nineveh, Nineveh was evil. And it wasn't that Jonah didn't want to preach to them, but he knew God is merciful. Jonah had read the scripture, because in the book of Kings, it said that later on, Nineveh, called the Assyrians, would capture the house of Israel. And we know that they did, and they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, Canada, and here we are in the United States of America. So Jonah was willing to die to save his people. He becomes a type of Christ. Now, you know, we know Romans 8:28, something good comes from everything. If they had not later, many years later, after Jonah, God converted them through Jonah, if they had not gone bad again and captured the house of Israel, America would not be here. We are as numerous as the sands of the sea. We are what they call the lost tribes of Israel. We have the house of Israel, house of Judah in the land of Israel, but we, for the most part, are the house of Israel. So see, God turned something good out of that. But let's not blame Jonah too much about anything. I think I've got time for one more question here. Dear Sherry, would you tell us another one of your angel spottings? Yes, I don't remember how many I've told you. I told you about my warrior angel. He looked like a Navajo Indian. Boy, he protected me. He was big. And then there was the tall blonde one when I was stranded my bicycle. He handed me a white cloth to wipe my greasy little hands where I'd been trying to fix my bicycle. And he just touched it and went, whoosh, and it fixed. And I said, I must be living right. And he just nodded his head and he disappeared. Well, now I'll tell you a new one, okay? I was riding my bicycle and I drove it up to a place to go in and buy something. I have a basket on it. And I chained my bike up, and lo and behold, to my great dismay, the spokes on the front wheel went out, and the bike went down. And I thought, oh, my Lord, I tried. I couldn't even budge them. All of a sudden, three little munchkins appeared. Now, I know they were pretending to be boys, but I'm on to them. Now, I always wait for my angel now to rescue me. And they didn't say one word. See, I love children. I'm used to children. They didn't say one word. Three little boys would be making all kind of noise, right? And the head one, he was a real munchkin. He just went, shh, and it came back in, and there I was. And they went on their way, and suddenly they disappeared. I mean, angels, we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses. Don't forget that we're trying to get together a nationwide day of repentance. So media call me, people call me, elect, connect. Now, if you're not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me and mean it. So all of you help me out here. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for every sin.
Please forgive me for every sin.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory. I am yours, Lord Jesus.
I am yours,
thank
Lord
you.
Jesus.
I love you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. And if you accepted Jesus, please feel free to leave a message and I will be praying for you. Give me your name. Now for those of you who are sick, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing destroys the yoke. North, south, east, and west, wherever there is pain, stop. Demonic forces, be gone. Go to the abyss in the name and the power of Jesus. Headaches, be gone. Migraines, be gone. Deaf ears hear. Blind eyes see. Crippled legs walk. Schizophrenia, be gone. Brains come back into perfect function. Livers and colon and kidneys. Backbone and spine and bones and muscles and nerves and bloods and hearts and lungs. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. In the mighty name of Jesus, arise. Take up your bed and walk. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Receive it and take it and believe it in the name of Jesus. Faith is an act. Get up, take up your bed and act like you're healed, and then you will receive it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Now, if you prayed that prayer and if you were healed, feel free to tell me there. Please come to my school. You're invited to every Sunday, 5 p.m. and every Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. We teach a different book on Wednesday night than Sunday. And then we put on our warrior clothes and we are warrioring. We are the carpenters. We are breaking down strongholds. We are going to get our country back to Jesus and the Bible. Yet, yes, we are. Sunday, 5 p.m., Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Now, I love all of you. Now, remember this, that this truth is not yours to keep. If you keep it, you are in sin, because Jesus told you to go and tell. Everybody you meet, your mission field. Be faithful in small matters. The next person you meet, remember that. Minister to everybody. Open your heart to everyone you meet and share this truth. Tell people about Trumpet of Truth on the radio here on Sundays and Wednesdays. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Now remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I love all of you very much. I'm here for you. Feel free to call for prayer if any way I can help you there. And let's get that flying roll with the clarity, the movement, and the manifestation of Jesus Christ back in the church and back in the land. If God is willing, I'll see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Must I pray? Must I pray to you? How long must I wait? Must I wait for you? How long till I see your face? See you shining through? I'm on my knees, begging you to notice me. Could the maker
Some God he raised
draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way, bring me back to you.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument.
Before you, for he is exalted. Up in darkness, surrounded by silence. So where have I gone? I woke to reality, losing its grip on me. Oh, where have I gone? I can see the light before I see the sunrise. Searched for you. What took me so long? I was looking outside, as if love would ever want to hide. I'm finding I was wrong, 'cause I can feel
and breathe. sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus.